It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, if this is Friday, this must be, let's see, where am I here today? We're in Maine. Yeah, I'm just north of Portland, Maine, just saw the most beautiful sunset. If you guys get a chance, go back and check out Mike Heath's show, because we were sitting here literally as the sun came up, and what a view. Most of you out there probably never have been to the state of Maine. I got a jacket here with me today. It's already kind of chilly. Maine is just what a place. I can see why somebody would fall in love with Maine, although they say it's now Boston North or Massachusetts North, and all the pretty boys have moved north, if you know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm here because of Sky High. As many of you know, we've purchased a property adjacent to mine in Hebron, and it's also named Sky High, 29 and a half acres, connected to our family residence. But this one here in Maine is a lot bigger, a lot higher. It's on a mountain. And I came out here today for a personal tour, talk with the guy who developed it, so he could explain to me the ins and outs of all the hard work that we're going to have to do to get this thing done. And it is the most I was kind of ashamed this morning when I walked out on the front deck where the sun was coming up and saw the magnificent view out over this. Wow. I was kind of ashamed of the little view we have at Buckeye Lake, but so hopefully I'll be able to fellowship with some of our friends from Maine, Jack and some of the crew. They're going to come heading down here and we'll spend the day together. I'm going to jump in my car, drive back home tomorrow. A lot going on. I could be in Branson, Missouri, the Steve Quayle conference, but I thought this would just be more critical, and met Mike yesterday at someplace in wherever, Pennsylvania. We drove up the last 7 hours together, 6 or 7 hours. So praise the Lord. Got a great show for you before we get into it. Listen, get on the phone right now, or Facebook or email or however you do it. And tell people to tune in today, CoachDaveLive.com. Remember, don't go to YouTube. I mean, you can if you want to. But as soon as I say anything about Jesus or anything about a homo, they're going to ban me, okay? So you just don't go there. Go right here to CoachDaveLive.com, and they're going to stream us live all the time. Tell people to tune in, because we've got Dr. Patrick Johnston with us, who's the brains, the author. I don't know if he's actually the executive producer. I don't know what his name is of the movie The Reliant. So you're going to get the inside scoop of exactly what happened with the movie The Reliant, that everything behind the scenes. And it goes on. It goes one night only showing the 24th of October coming up. And we're lucky enough to have Doc in it. And I was really kind of mad. I got to sit down with Doc and Elizabeth. By the way, that Dr. Patrick Johnston is the activist mom. He's Elizabeth Johnston's husband. And I actually got to sit down in their home and watch the viewing of the film. And I got to tell you, folks, you run into somebody who just makes a cheesy film. You know, you just run into somebody and say, well, he's a filmmaker. Okay, all right. And so you think, yeah, okay. And I knew when Doc was getting serious about making this film, because he's written several novels, and he took this first one and he turned it into a movie. I knew he was getting serious when he hooked Kevin Sorbo as the lead actor. I mean, Kevin Sorbo, God's Not Dead. Remember him? Hercules? When Doc got Kevin Sorbo, I said, man, there's something to us. Then he got the Boz. He hooked the Boz. Brian Roberts. I mean, folks, I sat in Doc and Elizabeth's home and watched The Reliant, and it was riveting, so riveting. And I said to him, hey, Doc, you need some humor here someplace, man. I gotta laugh here for a minute. It's powerful, powerful film. And it's being shown on one night only, October 24th. And Doc's going to explain all that for us here in just a second. Bear with me a minute. So he's coming up. Text everybody. Tell him, tune in, Coach Dave, and you'll hear about the Reliant. That was a name change there, by the way, as well. Larry, listening, go to our email, go to our Facebook, go to the website, Coach Dave Live. Larry's video is posted on there. And folks out there, if you can, we're going to raise enough money to take care of Larry's issue with his home. And if you are, if maybe you want to share it with somebody else, the video's on our website, what they've done to him, and how Larry has to try to fight back to save his home, his paid off home. It's no longer paid off. That's all there, Lord. And I had to bump out really early yesterday and get a chance to say how much I support Larry and everything that Larry's doing. And Larry's been very, very selfless. He's always helped us in every endeavor that we ever have. And we as brothers and sisters need to step to the plate and help Larry out right now. So I'm not going to dive back into that. That's on our website. You can find it. And then I've got to do this real quick because I promised myself I would do it. Jared, if you could, pull up, go to the homepage there, Jared, and pull up Leighton Howard. I've been talking about a lot of conferences we have going on and different things like that. And the Rimfire Conference that's being hosted or held in Billings, Montana, is that right? Montana, somewhere in Montana. I get it right here. Leighton's produced a little 2-minute commercial there on that thing. So, Jared, if you could pull that up there real quick so people can see it. If you're out there, anywhere out in that area, in the Montana area. By the way, what a great time to get a vacation. If you've ever been in that Montana area, holy crimey, big sky country. Well, we're going to be there. And this is the trailer. Also, this is at our website. But this is the trailer that Leighton put together of his Rimfire Conference. Go ahead and play that real quick here, Jared.
Conference coming up October 25th through the 27th at the Angel Theater in Columbia Falls, Montana. If you're a man seeking real truth and real answers to the real issues that we face in our society today, then this conference is for you. Our speakers include Bradley Dean, Coach Dave, Dr. Mike Spaulding, and Rob Pugh, just to name a few. So boot up and get your tickets today at coachdavelive.com/REMFIRE tickets.
There it is, man. We're going to be in Montana, October 25th through the 27th. Some of you out there, Tim Tuber in Oregon, I guess that's a long way. Hey, we're trying to make our way to the West Coast. A little tougher to get out there, right? Things a little bit different, time changes, all that stuff. So praise the Lord. Anybody got anything for the good of the group here before we get going? I told Dr. Patrick before I brought him in that this was a real lively crew and had a lot of P&V in them. Anybody got anything for the good of the group here? Anything I've forgotten? Anything you want to bring up? Jump in here real quick. I guess maybe.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Roger.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was one of the people that did go see the movie The Overcomer. Uh-huh. And I'm going to go see The Reliant, got it on the calendar. And I think that the thing that I was so happy for was the quality. And I'm looking forward to The Reliant's quality. I believe people will come to these movies, but quality is key.
That's right. This one's got good quality, man. I mean, listen, he's got Kevin Sorbo's the world's number one Christian actor, right? I mean, he is the draw, right? So Doc's going to talk to us about all that stuff and how he got all that stuff and everything that is going on behind the scenes. So Dr. Patrick Johnston, I've known Dr. J for golly, back when I was a young guy. 20 years, had a great relationship with he and his wife and their family, and they've moved from Ohio. They're down in North Carolina now, and been a real kind of upheaval in their life, changing, sold his practice. I won't get into all the particulars, but we all go through all kinds of upheavals in our life, and they've settled in and doing great down there as activist mommy. His wife's doing great, great stuff. Doc used to be the famous one, and now all of a sudden Elizabeth's getting on. I'm trying to figure, am I looking there? No, I want to look here. There we go. I'm on Mike Heath's phone. And I've known the Johnstons back when they were just plain old street activists, both of them. Doc Patrick was a family physician and a father of 11 children, Doc. Is that right?
10 kids. We got 10 kids.
I knew his double figures. 10 children, and they were just activists and God-fearing people and loved the Lord. Dr. Patrick's always been a great Bible teacher and expositor and raising their family and talking about family and homeschooling their family and fighting the good fight and fighting against abortion and standing up and starting pro-life physicians. This guy has been working behind the scenes, folks, for close to 20 years that I've known him. And, he 3 years ago, he had this vision that this movie, The Reliant, as I said, that was not the name of the movie at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And He's a little bit crazy. Anybody think, what, you want to make a movie? What? Come on, Doc. Make him what, on YouTube? Get
you ain't get seen you nothing
make
yet.
A movie? You going to make a movie? Come on, dude. But he was serious. He raised a bunch of movie, bunch of money. So Doc's sitting in a Starbucks. We got all beat up on him for being at Starbucks, but he's on his way to work. And he stopped, pulled off to give us an hour here to talk about what's going on. So there's your great intro, Dr. Patrick. Come on in, brother, and tell us a little bit about this whole journey that you guys have been on trying to get this movie out and running.
Well, thank you. This is an action adventure, and it's one thing faith-based movies haven't done very well. So it reaches a whole new genre of folks rather than just drama-watching Christians. One of the things that excites me the most about this movie in the last month is almost half of our first place festival awards have been at secular festivals. We just won in the Out of the Can International Film Festival in London. We got Best Action Film.
Wow. I can't tell you,
they've never
In the secular world, Doc?
Yeah.
In the secular world?
They've never had a faith-based movie win that award. And we won the Freedom Festival International, which is kind of like a bunch of libertarians, definitely not a Christian film festival at all. We won Best Score, and we won Best Producer of a Feature Film. So, I mean, we have two Best of the Fests. We have one Best Full Feature. We have two Best Producer Awards at two different festivals. Best Score. Kevin Sorbo got a Best Actor Award. And Brian Bosworth got a Best Actor Award at the Great Lakes Christian Film Festival. And he is a killer actor. You're gonna have your... You're going to be blown away. And
Doc, say this right now. One of my problems with Christian movies is they're cheesy. They're just way, way too cheesy, right? Who wants to go see another cheesy Christian movie?
But you have the profitable ones are cheesy.
You had a lot of problems, Doc, because you used guns, right? And glorified guns and why we need guns and why all that kind of stuff. In fact, there was one I read somewhere in one of the reviews, Kevin Sorbo said that was one of the reasons he signed on. He'd never seen any Christian movie with guns and survival and all that stuff. So you really, really popped into something. But it caused you some problems also, didn't it, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, it caused me a lot of hate. From the left. I kind of packaged it early on because we needed to raise money. And so I packaged it as a subtle, winsome defense of the right to keep and bear arms without even mentioning the Second Amendment, more dealing with God-given rights, you know, the right we had to keep and bear arms before the Second Amendment was even written by our forefathers. You know, it comes from God, and it's inalienable. And so I wanted to create a movie that dealt with it from a natural right perspective. And that's when... you know, we had a deficit in the film at one point where we needed $250,000 to create the film we made. We had a $250,000 budget. We had raised most of it. And then because of the Screen Actors Guild, we had to raise a ton of more money. And we had a week to do it, or we were going to have to kind of start over and decide if we were going to pull back the stunts because 30 to 20 scenes were so expensive, or were we going to have to just make a make-for-TV movie? And so Paul and I decided we weren't going to cut anything else. We were going to tell the story that God gave us to tell. Paul's the director and my prayer partner throughout the film. And we decided just to trust God for the money. And I had the impression from the Lord that when God told Noah to build an ark, if he didn't have enough wood for all the rooms, he didn't let the giraffes drown. Yeah, ask God for more wood. And so I said, Paul, get it out of your head that we're going to cut rooms out and let giraffes drown. We are not going to do that. We are going to ask God for the provision to tell the story he gave us to tell. And so we said, okay, when the kids are in bed, let's pray. Let's get together. We didn't even pray about it. We just prayed about praying about it. But we trusted God for the funds. And about 15 minutes before I was planning to call him for our prayer meeting that night, I get an email from the head of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. Dr. Johnston, I'm so excited to meet you. I'm sorry I missed this email. It's been in my spam folder for a month. Yes, I want to support this film. I love this script. Here's $255,000. We needed $250,000. He gave us $255,000 because he loved the moral basis of the right to keep and bear arms that's encapsulated in this film. You don't get it in Hollywood films, much less faith-based films. So I'm taking the whole Second Amendment fan base and the faith-based fan base and the action film lover fans, and I'm encapsulating in one film that kind of broadens the audience. We've created some hate because obviously when the we lost our premiere after the shooting in El Paso and in Dayton, the distributor said, well, we're not going to do the premiere anymore, because he was worried about protests. They had received so much hate mail just for being a distributor of this film. And so he actually didn't think it was a good use of money. I'm still trying to raise money for a premiere. We may not be able to get it. But, you know, the Second Amendment theme is very timely. God has set this up. Kevin Sorbo is going to New York on October 22. He's going to be on Fox and Friends. Rush Limbaugh is going to be talking about it. He's been on a lot of radio shows. He's going to be on two television shows. And we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment and pushing this film.
Okay, so, Doc, let me jump in there, because really, folks, I want you to think about this. Some of the issues that Doc's dealing with, certainly the whole gun issue is not – I mean, it's a hot issue, right? But it's hard to get people to come out in support of guns right now. The idea of Christians using guns and Christian resistance makes people uncomfortable. The fact that guns were included in it, they made it an R-rated movie. No nudity, no profanity, nothing, anything at all other than some guns being shot. No, and so he had some real, real obstacles within even the Christian community. People who would normally want to support the film couldn't support it because of, you're a hater, man. If you look at fear for guns, you're a hater. So you really had to push through that, didn't you, Doc?
And some of the gun folks didn't like that we gave the gospel. You know, we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus. So as Alex Kendrick warned me, Alex Kendrick, who is the producer of Overcomer, was a great blessing to our production. He watched the film twice and gave me some just incredible advice that I didn't like at the time because it meant more money and more time, but it really paid off. But he said, you're going to have an issue finding your target audience, because faith-based lovers are going to have a problem with the guns, especially the defense of the right to keep and bear arms. And your gun clubs don't like to talk about Jesus, even though most of them are Christians. And so we're kind of doing something country music. It's like singing a gospel song at a country music concert. But unfortunately, it's everybody's favorite song. I don't know if people will wake up to the fact that most people long to have a public expression of faith and a Christian defense of their God-given rights. These politicians got it all wrong, that we can't mention that what's God's will for us when it comes to our freedom and our liberties. And the Christians don't have it right when they forget to defend the Constitution, because it's based upon the Word of God. And so I think we're trying to do something new here. And we have a ready-made audience with the Tea Party folks and the Christian Liberty folks, and we hope to get them to come out and support the film. And they're going to be.
Doc, let's look a little bit of a trailer.
Yeah.
Folks, listen. I want you to look really, really closely, because you'll see me in there, even though you won't see me. Now I'm going to know I'm in it, right? In fact, I told my wife when I married her, I said, "Honey, I'm going to put you in the movies." And she made it. She's in this movie, although you'll never see her. You got to be looking for her. So we both made it as extras. That's not the right word. Whatever we are, we're in the background. So go ahead, folks. I'm going to tell you, listen to me. This is the most riveting movie I've ever seen. This is not a stupid movie. It's riveting. And like I said, when the show opened, I need something in here to make me catch my breath, man. It just went from one scene to another scene to another scene. So here's about a 2-minute and 30-second trailer. Hey, Doc, what was the name of the movie before they told you to change it? What'd you write the book?
It was The Why.
The Why.
The Why. Because we had a a pivotal scene in the film was on the Why Bridge. The very moral question asked in the movie is, why do bad things happen to good people? And so there was a lot of imagery. And you'll see that when you see the film, there's a lot of imagery about the why. It also represents a choice we make in life. There's a place in the woods where a primary scene took place. Me and my kids called the Why Trail, because it diverged. And one way led to briars and hunting and the city, and the other way led to our home. And I said, it's the perfect metaphor for this film. And so we filmed two major scenes there. And so initially we called it a why, and I like the mystery it engendered among people who heard the title. But our excellent composer wouldn't come on when we called it the why. He lives in London, and he was my wife's choice for composing. We have won two best score awards, by the way. We recorded the score at the Abbey Road in London. But when we changed it to the Reliant, we then got the composer right away. And so it was of the Lord.
By the way, Doc Johnson with his 10 kids, his son James, shoots deer, cuts their throats, guts them, Doc and Elizabeth Johnston have raised their children as real American children, and I salute them. Let's look at this. Let's look at this trailer.
Marriage isn't always going to be easy.
For better or for worse.
Well, love is a, it's a sacrifice.
That was in our neighborhood.
What's happening?
Get everyone in the car.
The world is falling apart. Believe me.
Go! Daddy!
Sophie, go! Go, get out of here! Run!
We have prepared for this. We will survive.
Oh, I've never known.
Oh, thank God. You're lying.
Adam, what happened?
And I've let you down, Sophie. I may never be any more worthy of you than I am of Grace. Can you love a man like that?
My dream was to marry a man who would be a good husband.
Give me another chance.
I don't know how much more I can take.
I mean, can't you see that he's changed?
And if he could tell us one thing, he would tell us that God is still good.
You are armed and dangerous.
You ain't seen nothing yet. We are staying together, and we are trusting God. The only good answer for the question why is believe. Mercy is the light that swallows up all the darkness.
So, Doc, you know, maybe I made a mistake in that I should have had you give a little bit of the background of the movie. What is the movie story, Doc? Maybe that would make more sense to him then. I'm sorry.
No, the precipitating crisis. One producer watched the film, said it was the most realistic precipitating crisis in a movie he's ever seen, because there's economic disaster, economic collapse, the beginning of what was called the Great Depression in 1930s. And with the moral climate we have now, when you watch the news, you see what happens when there's collapse. When four officers were acquitted for beating up a black man, what happened? They were rioting in six cities. People died in the streets, getting their heads smashed with rocks. There's tremendous social unrest with a hurricane coming into town, with a Super Bowl win. And so what happens in the film is there's rioting and looting. And as a result of that, this family is targeted. The father is shot. The mother goes missing. And the children have to run to the woods with what they can carry, and they struggle. They're running out of food. Their friends are betraying them, and marauders are encroaching upon them every day. And they're troubled as to how a good God could let this happen to good people. And when they catch a thief attempting to steal for him, played expertly by Brian Bosworth, they struggle with what to do. There's no clear answer. We can't call 911. We can't afford to feed this guy. Should we just shoot him? And it is a moral dilemma in the film. And Jimmy, of course, who is more vengeful and more attacking of the character of God and letting this happen to them, wants to kill him. And they discovered that this attack on their home was not a random act. And so you get the story behind the story, and it ends up being one of the most redemptive elements of the story when Jimmy, the one that wanted to kill Jack, and the boss, his character, are hugging before their baptism. It's just an extraordinary story. I won't ruin it for you, but it's an extraordinary, believable, non-cheesy story of redemption through the love of God. And it also defends our God-given liberties in a way that you won't get from a sermon, unfortunately, and you won't get from Hollywood.
Amen. Anybody want to come in? Got a question for Doc? Doc, sometimes there's a little bit of a delay, so let's give him a second to jump in.
Sure.
Well, you know me, Coach. Never lost for words.
Dale Socia's joining us today, Patrick. He's here. He's in here almost every morning.
All right.
Hey, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You know me. I'm going to take this opportunity. I've been trying for a long time to get a hold of the activist mommy. Please, if you have a minute of your time, take a look at www.ourstab.com and see what I'm putting together to combat the influx of Sharia into the United States. Just take a minute or two and check it out if you would, please.
Doc, we have a chat. It's be right there in that chat. If you get a chance, you can look there. Larry's a good dude. He's on the front lines. Our show, we got a lot of frontline guys here, Patrick. That's what we're trying to do, try to raise up guys to get out and get engaged in the battle. So you're talking to a bunch of activists here.
Hey, Doc.
Anybody else?
Hey, Doc. I'm excited about that movie. I'll be sure and put it on my Facebook. I've got about 5,000 friends. A lot of them are activists. And we'll get the word out for you.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Patrick, how do they find where the movie's been shown? What do they do? Do they need to go to the website?
It's been shown in over 700 theaters. Basically, when you go to the ReliantMovie.com.
Put that up there for us there, Jared, please.
The ReliantMovie.com, it'll invite you to buy tickets, and you put in your zip code, and it'll tell you where the movie is. And it's that simple. So find theaters and get tickets.
Hey, Doc, will the since it's a one-day showing, will the movie be available as a DVD?
Yes, on December 3rd, we go to DVD and VOD. And praise the Lord, we've already sold 6,000 units to 3,200 Walmarts. It'll be in, we've sold 40,000 units to Redbox. And we'll have a Netflix deal. And we're just getting started because a lot of these deals won't be sealed until we have a theater showing, because how much we charge for the DVD really depends on how well we do in theaters. So we're looking forward to a good theater showing so that we can maximize our invest. I got $1.3 million of investors that I want to pay off, and we've been standing on the word of God for that God asked us not to muzzle the cow that's still in the field. So I'm praying that, you know, the movie is profitable. I want to make another one. God really has my heart on an anti-suicide movie that's a rated R for violence, a military father-son story, especially after what just happened in California with that megachurch pastor that was mentally ill committing suicide. And so I really look forward to telling that story, but we need God to, I know the Lord wants me to tell that story, but we need a prophet on this story first.
Folks, this would be a great outing for, if you have a Bible study group, you have a home fellowship, that kind of thing, this would be a great outing. Not only is it a good movie and you'll be glad that you watched it, but you're going to really see if we do not support guys like Doc Johnston here, if we don't support these filmmakers that are making these things, then we have no complaints when all we get is garbage, right? Doc, what were some of the issues that you had to fight against to try to get people to pick up the movie? Now, did the Christian world run and embrace it, Patrick?
Well, I had 100,000 naysayers, and the biggest naysayers were the Christians. Second Amendment folks loved it. They supported one-third of the film was supported by just pro-Second Amendment folks. They didn't even care that it was faith-based. They just loved that it defended the right to keep and bear arms. But they worried about the target audience. Really, if I hadn't heard God from it, I think following advice of people wiser than me, I would have given up the Second Amendment defense. But it wound up being our saving grace, because God has used that to create so much hate among the left that our target audience learned about the film by reading the hate mail. And so even though the left didn't mean it for good, God turned it around and used it for good and gave us a lot of press and even a lot of some fundraising when we really needed it because of the hateful things the left was saying about it. That we, you know, because we raffled away two AR-15s, a 308, two handguns. We needed it for money, and they were given to us by Smith & Wesson, who purchased product integration in the film, as well as Double Tap ammo and subscription ammo. And we needed the money, so we raffled away those guns. And boy, that created some hate mail. We had large anti-gun websites writing articles against us and against Sorbo. That's kind of what they did. They would attack the actors, hoping the actors would turn against the movie. But Sorbo has been faithful to the cause and hasn't responded in kind. God's been good. All the actors, even some of them not believers, have supported the film. They can get tickets at the ReliantMovie.com. That's the spot to go. Get tickets now, because if it sells out, Fathom wants to make money. And if it sells out, they'll open it up for encore, and we'll have another showing.
So you're in 700 theaters, is that what you said, Doc?
750, more than 750.
They wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So what do you do, Patrick, when... after everybody gets done watching it and they go and tell all their friends, oh, man, you've got to see The Reliant. And they said, sorry, I ain't shown anymore. What do you do?
what we do is we tell them to get the DVD or watch it on Netflix. And you know, as soon as it's out of theaters, that website, thereliantmovie.com, will be a DVD selling page. But it'll be on Walmart. It'll be everywhere.
Tell us a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff, Doc. Like,
well, there's a character that
Nicole C. Mullins, didn't she? How did she get involved with it?
Who? How did you?
The singer. I got the wrong singer. What's her name? Oh, the singer.
Nicole C. Mullins. Yeah.
Nicole C. Mullins. Yes.
Well, initially we brought on Janie Grace. We secured her. We sent her $6,000, and then she backed out of the film when she learned that it was when she learned more about the plot, and never paid us our money back. Janie Grace stole $6,000 from us.
Is that right?
Yep, and then so we brought on Nicole C. Mullen, and she was the first African-American songwriter to ever get Songwriter of the Year. She wrote I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and we all sing in church. It's on Christian radio all the time. She's actually engaged to Donnie McClurkin, who's ex-gay. Wow. And so we actually brought on a reverend. We brought on a reverend to officiate a wedding in the scene. His name is D.L. Foster. He's also ex-gay. So in this wedding scene, we have such a great story within a story of liberation and purity, where this couple who have waited till marriage to kiss, and the marriage is being officiated by an ex-gay, and the singer's engaged to an ex-gay, and it's just a great story of liberation. I think now I'm going to get kicked out of Starbucks. Uh-oh.
So Nicole C. Mullen, she jumped in. She said, she wrote a song for it, right, Doc?
She wrote a song, and yep, she... we have a soundtrack coming out. You know, our score, as I said, was made by the Abbey Road in London. You know, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. We just had a spectacular score. We're winning awards on it. And so I'm hoping that they'll include my daughter Anna's song, who wrote the end credits song called Beautiful Rainfall, a song I wrote called Found Belief, and a song Nicole Mullen wrote, Last Love. And those three original songs should be in the soundtrack, Lord willing.
Doc, let me wait. Somebody else want to come in? I got a good question for you, Doc, but I'll wait to see
what happens. I just got to come in and say, hey, Doc, it's Dale here, man. It's so good to see you.
Hey, brother. Good to see you.
We bought our tickets already.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I can't wait to find out what you think about it.
We announced it to church.
We had a limited showing of this movie at Operation Save America, and we showed the rated R version. But we got the MPAA last October gave us a rated R, and we appealed it. It was pathetic what they did. We were near as violent as so many PG-13 movies. But we had to raise some money, re-edit the film. We finally got the PG-13. So I think you saw the more violent version, which most of our fans would rather see that.
So Doc, tell us the politics behind the PG-R rating. Well, there's got to be some real politics going on there, right?
Well,
no nudity, no swearing, just guns, right?
Yeah, and no glamorized violence. So you see movies like The Suicide Squad, or you know, where the villain is getting his heart ripped out, you know, or you see movies like Expendables 3, where there's like over 100 gun deaths at close range. Those are PG-13 movies. Split, that movie Split. You know, you have a villain eating a girl in her bra while she's still alive. PG-13. And so it was pathetic what they did. So I went and protested. I mentioned about 10 or 11 movies that were far more violent, far more gory than The Reliant. They got PG-13, yet they held their guns. Alex Kendrick and Tim Schmidt, the CEO of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association, believe it was an underage child used a gun his father trained him to use to shoot a villain who is threatening his sister's life. They believe that's why it's rated R, which makes it political. And unfortunately, when I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, we need this PG-13 or we're going to lose a faith-based audience. We're going to lose the churches. The Lord said, don't let it go. The Lord said, don't let go of that scene. That's one of the reasons I wrote the movie. And so we held on to it. We pulled back on the blood visual special effects. And I found a sympathetic ear with our representative with the MPAA. We resubmitted for another rating, and thank God we got the PG-13. Some of the deaths in the movie, you know, were so much more realistic in the first version. Just realistic. It's not glamorized violence. It's just what it looks like. So we had to pull back on some of that, but we finally got the PG-13. The director We'll have the rated R version.
Somebody else, come on in.
Can he join us today at the press conference at the Hall of Flags at Maine Capitol?
He's in North Carolina. I don't think he's going to be able to do that, Jack.
That's a short man. Just jump on it.
Yeah, I had to work for a living.
Yeah.
Once so, I get so to preach for a living like coach, but I'm not, folks, I'm not that big yet.
Let me say that. Doc, can we show another trailer? Are each one of those trailers different that you sent me?
Yeah, show that trailer I sent you, not the one on the website. Show the one I sent you last night. It's it follows the chief protagonist.
Jared has all of them in front of him. I don't know which one. So
yeah, that one on the far right there.
One on the far right. Go ahead and play that one again, folks.
You'll have to download it first. You'll have to download it. You can't watch it on that site.
Okay. I think he already, maybe already did. I don't know. Look, hey, folks, listen. Doc, help us out here. And I remember Dr. Patrick and Elizabeth and their young 10 kids, and they were just street rats. They're just street rats. They'd go out on the street, and they'd go to abortion clinics, and they would play music, and they would sing. And I remember watching Josiah, I think it was, debate with a guy down at the abortion clinic in Mississippi. You're not just a Johnny-come-lately guy into this cultural war. Your whole life, your whole married life, your whole family has been dedicated to this, Doc. When we come back, the video's ready. We're going to play the video. When we come back from it, Doc, talk about that transition that your family has made or had to make. It's been an upheaval in your life for sure. So let's hang on. Let's go to that. Let's go to the second trailer, and let's watch that one as well. This is from the movie The Reliant. Go ahead.
The first time you're going to see me in my wedding dress is when I'm walking down the aisle.
Marriage isn't always going to be easy.
For better or for worse.
Well, love is it's a sacrifice.
I may never be any more worthy of you than I am of Grace.
Leave us alone.
What's happening?
Southtown's under attack. People are getting killed. But we have to get out of here. Right now, we need to leave.
Leave? I'm supposed to be getting married in 39 days, Dad.
People are dying just 2 miles away.
Daddy!
Sophie, go! Go! Get out of here! Run!
It's chaos. It's anarchy.
Every little family dream of 3 meals a day, kids, our bedtime prayers, it's over. Welcome to our worst nightmare. It's adapt or die.
Oh, I've never, no, never, known love like this before.
I don't know how much more I can take.
Like a kiss long from heaven.
Oh, thank God. You're lying.
Adam, what happened?
My dream was to marry a man who would be a good husband.
Give me another chance.
I mean, can't you see that he's changed?
I'm sorry.
You think it tells us one thing. And tell us that God is still good.
You are my love.
My boy. You are armed and dangerous.
You ain't seen nothing yet. We are staying together. And we are trusting God.
Jimmy! The only good answer for the question why is believe. Mercy is the light that swallows up all the darkness.
Doc just told me he had to run and get the power cord in his car. It's running. He's running out of energy there in Starbucks, wherever he's sitting down there in North Carolina. So, folks, right there, as you can see, what you can do, I would really, really, again, recommend this to anybody that's got, take your family, take your prayer group, take your Sunday school group, whatever, for a couple different reasons, but more than a couple different reasons. We have got to support Christian movies. We've got to support these things, folks. Now, when Doc gets back in here, I'm going to ask him a couple questions. You don't have any, I know that when he first started, with his vision to do this movie, he said that he thought he could do it for $100,000. Is that right, Doc? Are you back in there yet? Did you think you could do it for $100,000? That's what you were hoping to be able to do, and then got into the process of going out and getting Kevin Sorbo and then Brian Bosworth, the Boz, and got started to get some really big name people, and all of a sudden the price of it began to go up. And then he's always been a gun enthusiast. By that I mean he taught his children to use weapons. He's always been Doc and Elizabeth have lived this lifestyle in this movie. They've lived it. And they've always been frontline culture warriors and not afraid to take on the hard thing, either one of them. And our desire and our need to support. Folks, listen, those of you who watch the show regularly know how much we talk about sissified men and sissified Christianity. And as you heard Patrick himself say, a lot of the pushback that came from people in the church. The people in the church don't think we ought to have guns and the right to keep and bear arms and the right to be able to protect and defend ourselves, defend our families. And if we want to see more of this type of movie out there, especially as Kevin Sorbo said, there's never been a Christian movie where Christians are using guns ever. And that in itself is a huge, huge breakthrough and really, really worthy of your support. Pat, are you back in here, Doc?
Yeah, let me tell you, Coach, real quick, something else that happened in the movie that was really spectacular. I had to work some. 2 days a week I worked, and so I missed a couple scenes. I showed up at a scene in my garden, and it was a scene where someone, a loved one, had just died, and they were burying them. And the director of photography was in tears. The director of the movie was in tears. The lighting guys are in tears. Everyone was in tears. During this scene, the actors were in tears. I'm telling you, I walked upon this scene and it was anointed. The anointing of God was on this scene as they were saying goodbye to a loved one. There are so many scenes where I just can't explain what happened. God was there. One of the actors in the film, named Nico, we were having lunch and he was sitting across Jason Benham. It may have been David Benham. And Nico was having, you know, Jason and David were just talking about, they're just being evangelists, talking about God. And Nico appeared troubled. And so the Benham boy said, let's go outside and talk. And he went outside and Nico fell to his knees and began crying. And I think it was Jason knelt beside him and said, you know, tell me what's on your heart. And he said, I just need to give my heart to God. He got saved after lunch while filming. The baptism of the character in the movie is of someone named Blake Hurt, and that's his genuine baptism. We had God's help with this film. I mean, God's in it. You know, I have full confidence that he's going to bless it. He's been blessing it all along.
I believe that, too. I believe that, too. Somebody else come on in here. No, nobody else. Nobody's got anything to say to Doc. Doc, while you were gone, I was talking about you and Elizabeth and your family. When you got saved, Patrick, you and Elizabeth, you immediately became street ministers, right? Because you became part of a fellowship on campus. And that's what they did, right? And that shaped your whole Christian worldview. Talk about that a little bit, Doc.
Well, yeah, there was a preacher that came to campus called Jed Smock. And I was a believer. I was leading Bible studies, but I was fornicating. I was getting drunk. And he came preaching against sin, and I felt conviction. I actually stood in front of the crowd of people and defended our right to sin with the Bible. And when God touched my heart and I repented, I immediately set out to do what that preacher I had mocked had done 6 months earlier. And when that preacher came back to town the next fall, you know, I got to preach with him. And he actually officiated the wedding of Elizabeth and I, Jed Smock. Wow. And so
he's still out there doing it, man.
Yeah, we preach. I preach with Coach. I preach at, you know, parades and, you know, feminist gatherings and all kinds of crazy places. But now God's got me preaching Hollywood. And
how about that?
We got to stay tomorrow. we got to stand as small in our own eyes. When God gives us a great opportunity to great things, get the mic at big meetings, it's time to fast. You want to be like David. You don't want to be like Saul. It's time to fast and express to God how much we need him. And we need him now. We need prayers. We need prayers for people to get saved at this film. We need prayers for God to impact our nation and impact the Democratic consensus before we lose our liberties. We just need prayer for God to do something special with this movie.
Hey, Doc, do me a favor. Make the argument for defensive weapons for the snowflakes that are watching right now. It's a biblical reason why it's okay to keep and bear arms.
Yeah, when you listen to the press, it does. You know, when you listen to one side of a story, it can really make you sympathize. I listen to NPR all the time, and it makes you sympathize with the anti-gunners. But they think we're just blind to facts, but they're only hearing half the facts. For example, there was a study done by the CDC looking at defensive uses of firearms in this country, and they found there was more defensive use of firearms than there were gun crimes. So guns are actually used to stop rape and stop assault and stop murder more than they're used for rape, murder, and assault. But you're not going to hear the press talking about that. You know, when you look at the people who've died from gun crimes in this country, that's nothing compared to the millions who've died from the government disarming the people. Tens of millions of people. And so those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. The idea that the government needs to come and disarm us, that's like a free people allowing themselves to be locked in cages because we want to be safer. Yeah, you might be safer, but you're going to lose your freedom. You're going to lose your freedom. And the government, history shows, is the greatest mass murder of all time. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And our forefathers designed a government for the people, by the people, to check the government and to even resist the government. It was founded upon the principle of lesser civil authorities resisting tyrants and resisting those who would oppress them and take away their God-given rights. We were founded on that principle. And that's one of the reasons our forefathers put the Second Amendment second and not tenth, because it's the only way to defend the first.
Second and not tenth. That's crucial, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was made second. Free speech. Steve Klein, one of my buddies, he was at the Bundy Ranch when that whole thing broke loose. That's about 5 years ago, I suppose, now. And Steve said he was there, and the two things that were obvious is that the First Amendment and the Second Amendment worked in unison. In other words, everybody had a cell phone, and they were Facebook Live and what was going on right at the branch. They had the guns, and they had the camera. And those two things together ensured liberty, folks. It ensured liberty. One, the first and the second ensure one another. So it's important that we're not gun crazy guys, but we understand the importance of being able to keep and bear arms. Doc, let me shift gears with you a little bit. As a head of the pro-life physician, I suppose you still run that organization, probably not as active as it was with everything you got on your plate. Hey, Patrick, when does life begin? When does medical science tell us life begins?
What does the medical science tell us about what?
When does life begin? Is a baby a baby? Is a baby alive, Doc? What's going on here?
Well, every elementary science textbook shows you there's five specific criteria to define life. I mean, if scientists are looking around on Mars, evidence for life, if they came back to the Earth and said, we've got evidence there's life, there's well-accepted criteria to determine if they're right or not. Does it metabolize nutrition? Does it excrete waste? Does it grow? Does it reproduce? Well, when you follow that just basic definition of life, when did you begin to grow, Coach? When did you first begin to metabolize waste? Metabolize nutrition, excrete waste. When did you first begin to grow? Your cells divide and divide and divide again. Dead things don't do that. That happened at conception. So that's a scientific fact that is not brought to bear in the debate. It's well accepted scientific fact, and it's sad that we are being censored in the debate over the killing of innocent children.
How have they been able, Patrick, in your opinion, how have they been able to keep that science out of the abortion debate?
Yeah, I don't know. But there's a devil. He's a father of lies, and he owns the media. He owns the Hollywood. and Christians have not resisted. We've been happy to have our freedoms and enjoy our freedoms in our stained glass fortresses. And as a result of that, the devil's on the offensive. We're not attacking the gates of hell. He's attacking the gates of the church.
Amen. That's right.
So, you know, it's my hope and prayer that God will, as Elijah said to his friend when he was on top of the wall of the city when they were besieged, he said, there are more for us than are for them. There are more for us than are against us. And Amen. The angel of the Lord went and slew 186,000 of the enemy that had kicked against him in one night. You see, there's no restraint to the Lord to say by many or by few. We can win this fight. And we just need to be true to the Lord, be courageous, charge this battlefield, unsheathe the two-edged sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and trust God for the victory.
So, Doc, let me ask this question, because I know many out there are wondering. You're an unbelievably accomplished guy. How many novels have you written, Doc?
I'm finishing up my 11th book right now, Eva Adel's biography.
11th book. You're a medical doctor. You have 10 children. You hunt, you fish, you protest or proclaim the gospel, you preach, you do all that stuff. And Doc, then boom, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, your wife becomes one of the most visible, famous, modern day, I mean, she is, right? The activist mom, millions of, what is, Doc, what's that been like?
70 million video views.
Say it again?
70 million video views so far.
7 million video views. And now I'm thinking, if it's me, right? And I've written 10 books, accomplished all these things. And all of a sudden, Michelle's all over the place. Boy, I'm going to be biting hard when I eat my bacon in the morning, right? I mean, how has this changed your life? Because she's everywhere, isn't she?
Well, every time she asks me, should I do this? Should I go speak at the FRC's conference? Should I go to New York and do a day and morning? I'm like, go. She never gets a nay from me, but sometimes she needs to hear me say, let's pray about it.
Yeah, amen.
So I said, well, we did our praying for 20 years. It's time to go.
Yeah.
They're on the side of going. And just like Paul had to be forbidden by the Spirit of God to go into Macedonia, let's just go everywhere he sends us. And if he forbids us to go, then we won't go there.
That's right. He can close doors just as easily as he can open doors, right? And I remember telling Elizabeth, I said, you're the left's worst nightmare, man. You're pretty. You're articulate. You got a big family. You're for guns. You are the worst nightmare for them. And boy, she's gotten a lot of traction, hasn't she?
Yeah. She's not a feared man. And every time she had the risk of losing her platform, you know, when she was building it on Facebook, before the Facebook persecution of Christians really cracked down, they would put her in Facebook jail. And she would say, what do I do, Patrick? Do I comply to keep the platform, look at all the good to be done, or do I come out with the gloves off? Every time she came out with the gloves off, and instead of losing the platform, God would expand it. Yes, God wants that kind of courage in us that won't back down off the battlefield. We stand in front of the Goliath of this culture, and we're looking for a coach to come take over. No, God wants you. God wants you. And so my wife didn't say, Patrick, save me. She said, I'm going to speak the word of God, and I'm not going to be ashamed. And God elevated her. There are more martyrs than there are heroes for people who've done what my wife's done. But instead Amen. Of being a martyr, God's picked her to be a hero. And if we stay humble and our prayer life doesn't get dry, we're going to find out that God can do great things to us.
Amen. Hey, folks, I'm going to wrap it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to just pitch in. You guys, Doc, are an amazing testimony. I got to be with you guys down in Richmond. I volunteered, prayed over the event. One of the most impactful things was when you brought the healthcare practitioners on stage. And you had them repent. That was amazing. And of course, Bishop Ron Archer was a highlight, another highlight there too.
Yeah.
So really appreciate y'all's work.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. That was the day of mourning he's talking about that my wife felt led to do. She did one in Virginia. She did one in New York. I forget which one this brother's referring to, but we had every professional come forward to represent the medical profession. You know, psychiatrists, physicians, OBGYNs, nurses came forward, and we all knelt down on the stage and we repented for the sin of child killing and for the sin of abandoning God and God's will for sexuality.
It was impactful.
And he did something special.
Amen.
I gotta head to work now, Coach.
Hey, Doc.
Can I conclude with a word of prayer before I go?
Yeah, you sure can. Sure can.
Y'all just take a moment and pray with me. Lord, we love you. You're a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And we call upon your name, Lord. Here we are at the last leg of the race. And we don't have the strength to bring forth if you don't show up, God. So we're asking you to show up. We're asking you to fill theater seats. We're asking for the ReliantMovie.com to just flood the internet right now, that people will get their tickets, that they'll buy it on DVD, and that their lives will be changed. People will be saved. That people will see themselves in the character that was well-churched but became a prodigal son, the character of Jimmy, or the pagan, heathen, ex-con man who gets saved, the character Jack. That they'll see themselves in these redemption stories, and their hearts will be pricked, and they will repent and be saved. Lord, we pray that you will impact the culture, that we'll see through the fog of lies, and we'll see that these God-given rights to defend ourselves, they cannot be legitimately infringed upon by the government, Lord, and that liberty will be vindicated in the name of Jesus lifted high. So I pray in Jesus' name that you will do great things to this film. We give it up to you like Abraham did Isaac's. God, you're going to have to do something great with it because there's nothing else we can do. And so we ask you in Jesus' name to take it and use it for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Doc, give us that website one more time.
Amen. TheReliantMovie.com.
TheReliantMovie.com. Go out and get your tickets. Encourage others to get their tickets. The Reliant Movie. Doc's got to run. Appreciate him being with us. There it is. TheReliantMovie.com. Going to cut out a little bit early here. We're in Maine. We got a big day ahead of us. A lot going on. And just appreciate all of you being out there. Need any information, anything I can do in regards to promoting this? Doc did say that if you found another town that wanted to host a movie, or somebody wanted to be the one to lead that charge down there, that they have the opportunity or the ability to take the movie to other places. Listen to me. It is riveting. It's riveting. It's not some hokey, cheesy, corny Christian movie. It's got all of it in there, man. It's got everything in it. And I just appreciate Doc and all he does, all Elizabeth does. And just thank all of you for joining us. We'll see you on Monday.